Good evening everyone, welcome to tonight's planning meeting on Monday the 14th of May, 6pm at Exmouth Town Hall. I've received apologies from absence for Brian Toy and Rob Masding, and I think Tony Hill actually gave us apologies at the last meeting. I'm sure he said he was unable to come.
He wouldn't be on this one, he definitely wouldn't.
Yeah, I thought he had. Now move on to the public speaking section of tonight's meeting. Well, we have a number of members of the public who wish to give an oral representation on a particular plan. The planning application is 18/06474, 66 Cullen Road. Construction of single-storey rear extension, raised patio and hard standing area to the front. The amended plans for consultation is that the amended and additional plans show a reduction in the height of, but an increase in the length of the patio, and to clarify the height of the fence on the northern curtilage boundary. Have I members consent that we take this as the first item on the agenda, please?
Yes.
Thank you. As is normal practice, I would ask all the representations may take up to 3 minutes. I think we have the names of the representation, and I believe if you could confirm whether you're objecting or supporting the application, which it doesn't actually say in the notes I have. And I have two people wishing to speak on the same application. Firstly, Julian James, please.
Good evening. My name is Julian James. I'm a chartered civil engineer and I live at 168 Hall Road, which is semi-attached to 166. I object to this planning proposal for four reasons. The first one is loss of light to our living room window due to the extension which is being built on the back of 166, less than 1 metre away from our window. Secondly, the issue of noise. And thirdly, the risk of structural damage caused by what are quite major alterations that break into the party wall between number 66 and number 68. These objections were put to the Exmouth Town Council Planning Committee on the 3rd of April, and the committee discussed the application and subsequently recommended refusal. Now, the applicants have since amended their proposal to extend the length of their patio, extend the length of their existing patio by about 4.5 metres, which is double the existing length, and then raising the fence between 66 and 68. Now, in extending their existing patio out, they're building it approximately 0.5 metre above the ground level that currently exists at that location. And so, we object to this proposal because it will increase the height of the fence on our side to between 2.2 and 2.3 metres as illustrated on this plan here. You can see there's the existing fence by our patio, that's the fence we're taking from number 68 from our garden looking towards number 66. And I've superimposed what would be the proposed increase in height of fence. And the other hatched area you see there, that's the blocked out section where the extension to number 66 will extend. So you see it's actually quite high and very close to our dining room window. You can't actually see the window in that picture, that's looking directly on the back of the house. My final point concerns the Party Wall Act itself, which will really very clearly come into effect if this development is allowed to go ahead. In particular, I think it would be helpful if planning officers or some official body could make the applicants aware of their responsibilities under the Act, because a breach of that Act could actually be very costly, not only to us in number 68, but to the developers in number 66. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Megan Armstrong.
Council, I support Mr. James's comments and find
his superimposed photos of the proposed fence very helpful. I was very concerned about the clear sentence in the original application's design and access statement that fencing and landscaping will be as existing, but it is now quite apparent that this is not true. I question that if the DNA statement is to be reneged upon, what is its validity and what else may be changed as the development progresses? I would like to emphasise that Mr and Mrs James, number 68, are not concerned that they may be overlooked, but are concerned about the loss of light, overshadowing and loss of amenity. In these latest amendments, although the fence height nearest to the property has been reduced, the proposed patio is to be approximately double the length, as Mr James said, of the current one, i.e. around 9 metres. The intention is that this will be raised and will be approximately half a metre above ground level, which will consequently raise the height of the fence by half a metre. Mr James has suggested restricting the fence height to a maximum of 2 metres above ground level, i.e. maximum permitted development. Another suggestion would also be to lower the new patio so that the increased fence height would not be necessary and would be much less overbearing and allow more light into the garden of number 68. If the applicant is concerned about lack of privacy, this should solve the problem and help ensure good neighbour relations. On this last point, I'm very disappointed to learn that throughout this whole application process, neither the applicant or his agent have been in touch with the adjoining neighbours, Mr and Mrs James, either to inform them of the application or to reach some mutually agreeable compromise, which in my view would be preferable to the creation of ill feeling amongst neighbours. Finally, the raised and extended patio will also severely impact detrimentally on number 17, Trinfield Avenue, which is directly behind the development property. Number 17 asked specifically in their letter of objection for a reduction in the height of the raised patio or the length of it. So I'm speaking really on behalf of two properties there. So thank you very much for this.
Thank you. This is the application in Holston Ward, 18B0647 66 Cullen Road. Construction of single storey rear extension, raised patio and hard standing area to the front. The amended plan for consultation this evening is that the amended and additional plans to show a reduction in the height of but an increase in length of the patio and to clarify the height of the fence on the northern curtilage boundary. We do have statutory consultee comments and representations which I'll ask Rons to summarise for you.
We previously discussed this application and objected on the 3rd of April on the grounds of water runoff created by the hard standing parking area to the front and the loss of light to the adjoining property and garden. And as previously Megan commented, and she objected, and did Councillor Jill Elson. There were three representations to the original application, and we've now heard one representation in respect of these amended plans. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Dumper?
Yes, an interesting one. They've gone for a big change in the length of the patio. I was quite surprised, really, bearing in mind the nature of the objections that had come in before. And now, of course, by extending that patio, they've created another front, really, in the potential for objection. And to be honest, as they've not really addressed some of the previous comments, I would propose refusal on the same basis that we did before. But additionally, the issue about the height of the fence and the nearness of the patio to the fence.
Yes, I would concur with Councillor Dunbar and I would second his proposal.
Thank you. Councillor Nicholas?
First of all, I would declare an interest, as I know Mrs James. Right. I always thought that before you can touch a part of wall, you have to get a special licence and permission to do it. That's always been my understanding, and according to this, they haven't done that.
No.
So that obviously is another problem that they haven't addressed. I'm just recommending an additional plans to show a reduction in the height of, well, I can't quite see how they've done it, if they're still proposing to extend it even further and put it on top of the patio.
Councillor Chapman?
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I was under the impression there is a law now that's stating that you cannot build a concrete patio in the garden three quarters the size of the garden patio will be, if they lengthen it to that length, which would, we would lose the soaking, and it's on a slight hill, so you'll have the runoff into next door's garden, and I would object on that as well, and the patio is far too large, and I also agree they could sink the patio, could be half the size, and they wouldn't need to touch the fence.
Thank you. After proposing seconded for refusal on the grounds previously, we had on the 3rd of April, which is on the grounds of water runoff created by the hard standing parking area to prevent the loss of light to adjoining property and garden. But we also, in light of this amendment, wish to also object to the height of the fence and indeed the sighting of the patio that is going to be close to the fence. The length of the patio, although I'm not sure, I think, although the patio has changed, I think, in planning guidelines, but I'm not sure. So on those grounds, it's refused. So it's been proposed and seconded. All those in favour of refusal? Against? No? Thank you. So that's been refused. Thank you.
Can I just have one comment on that plan that you seem to have up there? So I don't believe that that is an accurate plan. That doesn't show, actually, the extent of the patio. That shows, I think, what they were originally proposing. I think it's even bigger than that now.
Mm.
I think it's twice the size that is shown on that drawing.
Yeah, I think that's the original plan. Yeah, I understand that, Mr. Jones. It does look like the original plan, I have to say. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
You can go if you wish, or you want to stay, you can stay.
Thank you very much.
Go back to the agenda. Minutes of the meeting held on the 30th of April 2018 have been circulated. Is it your wish I sign them as a true record of the last meeting?
Yes.
Thank you. Declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensation. Have any members wish to declare any interest in any of the items that we have on the agenda this evening? Nobody cherries? Anybody else? No. Okay. I have a number of items for urgent business this evening. Firstly, the ex-sailing club has invited members of the planning committee to their clubhouse to view their proposals for a replacement of some of their old sheds with a single-storey extension. This is going to be held on Wednesday, the 23rd of May at 4 p.m. As this particular premises is in town ward, I'll say first of all that the town representatives on the planning committee wish to go, obviously. I would say that they could have first option. As Rob and Tony are not here, we'll make sure that both Rob and Tony do know about it. But if Councillor Dunford or Councillor Nash wish to go in their capacity as district councillors, you're more than welcome. I personally won't go because, as chair of planning, I don't normally attend meetings like this because obviously it's difficult if I'm chairing a planning meeting and I've actually met the applicants. And I also do know the current Commodore of the XA. Yes, Councillor Cagle can go. Do you wish to go?
23rd of May.
23rd of May at 4 p.m.
And what is it now actually?
Well, they're just doing a pre-application discussion really about their single-storey extensions that they want to replace in sheds. So they just want to really give some information about what they're thinking about and whether councillors are concur, whether there's anything really that they, you know, you'd stand and say, oh, no.
It's always useful to do it.
Yeah?
So,
yeah. Okay. And if, I don't know, do you wish to go, Tim, as a town councillor?
Well,
a district
again,
councillor?
Although I wasn't going to declare any interest in that, but I mean, I'm connected with members of
Sailing Club, right, okay.
I would probably prefer not to.
No, that's fine. Yeah,
I'm not.
That's the last year, which is.
Well, I can't because I've got
no. Okay.
Duty.
Right.
1500 to 1800.
Okay, so Councillor Fred Cahill, and we'll email Rob Masding and Tony Hill. If any other member wants to go, then please let Rob know. We'll make sure it's added to the list.
Could we get any sort of paperwork in advance?
I don't think at this stage, they've only got a general plan that they're just as a pre-application, so they haven't actually made an application yet. So I think it's a general discussion about their what they're proposing. Now, move on to, I've had notifications of street trading applications. Firstly, from Richard Sturdy, trading as X Valley Pizza Company. The location is Woodbury, Collerton, Limpstone, Exmouth and Budley, and maps have been circulated this evening. The dates is an annual between 5 and 8 p.m. and then, as you'll see, it's Monday is Woodbury, Tuesday Collerton, Wednesday Limpstone, but Thursday will be Exmouth. And the application is made for a mobile van selling pizzas, which I think has been circulated. It's in respect to the rugby club, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is in respect of Withycombe Rugby Club. I mean, obviously, we can make comments. The Withycombe Rugby Club have to make their own decision whether they want anyone on their car park or not. That's not our decision to make. But if you've got any observations you wish to make about it, where it's situated and whether it's going to cause any difficulty, I have had a representation to say they are concerned that this is on the corner at Hullam Road, going down Hullam Road, a busy area where there is quite a lot of parking if anything goes on with Withycombe Rugby Club. Those of us who live near there know that there's a problem. And I think that's, but they have got the car park, which, providing there's nothing being held on that day, although without knowing their road, I do know they have quite a lot of events in the Withycombe Rugby Club that are held. Quite a lot of evening events are held in the rugby club. So that would my only concern would be parking if there was an event on, as well as there being a pizza place.
They've applied for two sites.
Yeah. And the second site is the MPS Glass and Glazing in Salterton Road, Unit 1 at the commercial units, which is actually up behind the main road, so I don't see too much of a problem with that. But Councillor Cahill first. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah. Can you just clarify for me, just so I understand it, Withycombe Rugby Club and their car park, are they leaseholders of council land? Rugby Club, not?
Yes, through East Devon District Council.
Through East Devon District Council,
yeah. So what?
But it's up to Withycombe Rugby Club have got the lease of the car park and the land, so therefore it would be.
As part of their lease, are they allowed to sublet?
I wouldn't know, because I wouldn't know what their lease is.
No,
you know, I mean, Exmouth Town Football Club, for example, has got, they can let out various bits of their, Exmouth Rugby Club can, as we all know, they let it out for the caravans, and they also let it out for various events, so I would assume there is.
Yeah.
I would assume there is, as I don't know, but...
And we're assuming that this trader is entered into some sort of agreement with them.
I've got no idea. I presume he has approached these places to say that he wishes to use that and the MPS car park. Obviously it's the MPS is private land, so therefore they'd have to apply to MPS. They rent the unit and the land, so therefore that would be part of MPS. And same with this would be Withycombe Rugby Club would have to give permission, same as MPS would give permission, but it's whether you've got any observations that we would
obviously the rugby club are leases from the leaseholder, which is East End District Council, and I was just wondering whether there was any sort of restrictions that they have.
I'm not aware of their restrictions. I'm not aware of what their contract holds. The only thing I would say, purely from a personal point of view, I have seen barbecues in that car park being run by the people who do the catering in the rugby club. But I don't know what their lease says. I wouldn't know, I'm afraid. Councillor Chapman.
Thank you, Chairman. MBS Glass is on an industrial site, as you say, it's on private land, it's nothing to do with us. With the Pumrali Rugby Club is the leaseholder from East Devon District Council. We don't know what contracts they have. I know with them, they, like the chairman says, they do events there, and the people that work for the club put on events there. So, to my way of thinking, it's between Rugby Club and East Devon. And I have no other observation to make.
Thank you.
Can you just clarify, please? It says annual. Does it mean this once a year or every week?
Well, that's what's been submitted.
Every week?
I understood it was every week. But
I would assume every week.
I have to say, I've not seen the...
Annuals, the whole year.
Of the whole year, every day of the week,
yeah.
Every week,
mm.
Not every month, every week.
Every Thursday.
So they've got two then, have they? They have one down at the Rugby Club and one up at MPS Glass, or what?
I would assume they must have two. What's been submitted or been sent is information for each venue, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sorry, thank you. There's been 6 maps sent to us, so that would be 2 for Exmouth and 1 for each of the other, so for Woodbury, Colleton, Limpston and Budley. So they've sent me 6 maps, so 2 for Exmouth and 1 for each of the other venues.
Yes, it doesn't seem clear, does it?
No, I mean...
5 to 8 p.m. where?
Yeah.
On both sites? One site alternating?
All we've had is an email from East Devon District Council which says, "Dear Councillors, the District Council has received an application for a strict training consent relating to an area which may be of interest to you as a district, town or parish councillor." Then it's given exactly the same as Ron's has put on the paper. It says, "Please find attached the following documents accompanying the application for your information." But they have not sent us any further application form.
Thank you, Chair. Is this the same application that we put into our pizzas in the Imperial car park?
No, it's a different company.
Which is exactly what my sentiments were before. Once we start, this is going to happen in all places around the town, and I'm against this. So I will vote against this application.
Chairman, I'd second that. That was our comment at the last meeting.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different company. Next fortnight time, we'll have another couple of companies. Before we finish, we're going to have Exmouth cluttered up with vans selling food and people wandering around. It's not Exmouth.
No, we must look after our local independent traders and also those that are paying business rates.
Mm-hmm. Councillor Dumper.
Yeah, I was actually going to take the opposite view. I was going to support Councillor Maddie Chapman there on saying I don't think, because I think, as you rightly say, I mean, events happen, selling pizzas and such things in the Rugby Club anyway, and well, they do up at MPS site, I don't know, but I don't see this as a, you know, one evening a week. I don't see it as a real problem. I mean, okay, if other companies come forward, then they come forward, and you know, some people, you know, even some Conservatives may welcome competition.
I'll put another point of order there, please.
Yeah. Sorry?
That was political point of order. This is a planning meeting.
I just made the point.
We don't normally take a vote on these. We just usually take a general opinion on. What we feel and what we've said. I think, I mean, I've got concerns possibly about highways if there's another event going on. And we've also got some concerns about independent traders, but obviously it's private land, and one's private land, one is rented, and I don't see that we can actually have any say on whether they do or don't, because it's not us that we can only raise really any concerns that we have generally, I think. Which we'll raise the concerns as said.
I think really needs to be in line with this is the criteria.
Right, I've now got the criteria which I haven't seen, so that's all right. No, I just haven't seen it. So the answers are: the considerations for applications can be on the basis of site safety, public order, avoidance of annoyance, conflict with other trading outlets and school premises, which is one that you've raised, isn't it? Compliance with legal requirements, permitted trading hours, or compatibility of proposed street trading operation. Yeah. So it then says, refused or withdrawal of street trading consents will normally be the following circumstances where there's not enough suitable trading locations, or already enough consent holders or people employed trading, consultant holder or people employed by them have failed to comply. So it's fairly, it's a bit like we have with advertising, that there are certain criteria that has to be met for us to be able to refuse in any way. So, I mean, we've obviously made the observation, Councillor Trevor, two people have made the observation concerning the independent and the effect it may have on other nearby traders.
Local businesses.
It's fair enough. That's one of those on there, which I'm happy to say that we have concerns about that.
And highways
is really because it's public safety where that would be. So I think we can only raise those two concerns if people don't have to just raise those two concerns. Councillor Chapman.
Yes, just to say that we are quite strict, rightly so, in preventing in that area where we're talking about in the Salford Road on the industrial estates, people sticking signs up advertising soup kitchens and restaurants and things as what, which under the law has to have a license for that sort of advertising. I find in progress, we're now going to say we have a massive great pizza van visible from the road. It will allow other people to say they've got pizza vans there, they stick signs up in our restaurants.
Yeah. I think actually one thing that we can say with regard to the Simpson Road premises is it's not primarily a retail area, that is actually where MPS Glass is and Homes by Design, etc., really more office premises for people to go in and discuss it. They're not really retail premises as such in that site, other than I know there is a catering van that sometimes goes there in the daytime, which I suspect they might say is, if you have that in the daytime, why are you saying you can't have a cake in the evening, I guess?
Yes, Jim, industrial sites, they often have these vans. You get them all around Exeter and everywhere. I don't see a problem with MPS. It will not be in conflict with any businesses. And with the Camaraderie Club, as I say, it's on a lease. And I don't think we can start saying we don't want them to do it, because we always support with the Camaraderie Rugby Club, and they put on events. And if we say we don't want anything licensed there, then that prohibits the Rugby Club for fundraising as well. And I wouldn't want to do that, and it's in the car park, and I'm sure that Witherpin Rugby Club would be the first to jump up and down if there's any problems. And they're well away from, you know, any Italian restaurants that are selling pizzas, etc., etc. So I don't see they're in competition with the local guys, so I don't see any problem with it.
We'll just make some general comments. The next application is in respect of Henrietta Greig and trading of Piper's Farm, and this is the location Exmouth Beach for Tuesday the 29th of May for a beach barbecue. Again, you have had a map. Councillor Cagle.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I've got the map. Quite sure about this because we're going on, you've then got a rectangle on the beach, and then you've got these squares and rectangles on the back of the map, but I can't see any mark on that map. So can you explain it on this for me? Or am I a beach student?
No, I think it's...
And I've not got one on the back.
Yeah.
Well, that's showing you the area is... rectangle that's on
that's
the...
That's a massive big area for barbecue.
It's a rugby...
It's a tournament.
Is this a one-off? Yeah, because the beach barbecue needs a licence, but it actually says on the back, beach rugby site plan, so that it must be an event for beach rugby. I would say there is an event going on, but they want to, they've asked Piper's Farm to supply the barbecue, and Piper's Farm need a licence to be able to provide that barbecue at that event.
Thank you for clarifying that. I just didn't read it the way.
No, that's what I would suggest it is. Yeah. I mean, I have to say, as Councillor Traylor just pointed out, there's also, it says bar area. Well, we haven't had the licensing yet for the bar area, as far as I'm aware, and I haven't seen a tenants' notice for it or anything.
No.
So that's got to come before us anyway. But this is for the food bit that says 3x4. I would suggest that's where the bar is.
So,
Chairman, can I just say, a date that started up the rugby, when the Rugby World Cup. And
yeah.
He got the Rugby World Cup to come down to Exmouth for the kids. And he did say to the other guys that took part that he would like to see the beach rugby continue. And I think that's what some of the guys are actually doing, because the kids enjoyed it, and you know, there were lots of different teams. Some came down from London to play beach rugby. and they had quite a good game, and they've also bringing in volleyball as well for the girls, which I think would be nice, but it's just for the day.
Yeah, I think all it is that before, when we've had some events on the beach, we haven't had these street consent licences required.
No.
And also they've run them very much themselves in-house, whereas what they've asked for is obviously franchised it to, or asked Piper's Farms to come, so they need a street licence. Do you want to come back or?
Yeah, thank you. Doesn't give any indication on the urban business at times. Do we know what the times are?
No, I would suggest it's probably going on all day, because it's the only food outlet on here.
Yeah.
So I would imagine it's going on all the time at the tournament, I would imagine.
It's about 10 till 4, normally are.
So are we assuming that they would be closing off the whole of that public beach area for their
sports? For the rugby, I would assume so, but I mean, we haven't had any other application. They've done that before. The whole of that was, it's similar to the whole area that we cut off for the RNLI when they have their beach thing.
It's the same size area,
but to be fair, it was about that size when they had the rugby tournament, volleyball tournament before.
Yeah, you can still walk along the beach. Yeah. It's not completely shut.
No, no.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Councillor Dumper.
Yeah, I hope I'm not being over bureaucratic on this, and I mean I would support the event, of course, in the way it's being proposed, but I just do wonder if with these kind of licences required, if people could be asked to put their applications in a bit earlier, and that's, I know what you were thinking, because, you know, to give proper consideration to these things, give everybody time, you know, would be useful.
Personally, my concern is that there's a bar on here,
yeah,
and I've not seen a licence for the bar at all.
No.
So I think we need to comment that we have no time for the application, and we also have not seen a license request.
It hasn't come up on licensing either, Jim, so.
Well, considering it's the 29th of May, that's going to be hard to get that through. Perhaps that's what they're doing. Perhaps they don't need a license. You know, we don't know what sort of bar it is. You know, it could be Shaker's Milkshake. Councillor.
Yes, Chairman, the fact that this proposed date is the same date as our next planning meeting. It's the day after the bank holiday, and we're assuming it's during the daytime, not evening. But I think if people are going to put this through to us, they should be a little more accurate, like defining the time, getting the map right. It's not beach gardens, so it's a beach.
Mm.
The gardens are at the back, they're actually saying the beach.
Yeah.
So this is application for the beach, which is instead of control, not beach gardens.
Yeah.
And also, to add, as you said before, it says three or four food places, or is that just
No, it's only one food place.
It's a bar,
HQ, DJ, generator. What's the 3x4 meter?
That's the
3 foot by 4 foot.
That's right.
Meters, yeah, it's the size of a market.
So we've got a bar there as well, which we won't be able to pass comment on.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And
yeah,
it says
because it's rugby players, you don't.
That's what I'm saying, we don't know. Yeah. But also, we haven't seen any application of a DJ for the entertainment. Is it a DJ?
Well, no, it's just someone with, you know.
Well, fine, we're not having any music, but what I'm saying is it doesn't.
And the generator has to be petrol.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of.
Yeah, we'll have to go through licensing,
yeah. So we'll just make those comments at the time. Presume there's no entertainment.
As long
and
as
we presume
the
bar doesn't need licensing.
But
it might well be that the bar doesn't need licensing, it might not be able to
No,
you can't assume.
You don't always, you can't assume.
Okay, thank you for that. Right, and I'll move on to the rest of the agenda, Right, move on to Brixington delegated powers. Deferred, item from previously, this is 18/0793 tree application, 3 Truro Drive, and it's deferred pending the tree officer's report. This is T1 Birch, removed 2 basal tubes, crown raised to give 4.5 metre clearance above ground level, making pruning cuts up to 30 millimetres in diameter. Highways do not wish to comment. I presume we've now got the tree officer's report. No, I've got nothing written on here.
No, we've got to defer this one because he
hasn't got it at all.
No, he has sent it, but he literally sent it at the last minute and I didn't have time to do it. But we have got time to discuss it, to defer.
Lovely.
I didn't have time to write it.
That's fine, we defer to the 4th of June. And if there's nothing here, this is just a mistake.
No, that carries on, it's just the thing. Sorry.
Got a little bit difficulty hearing these things. Right, the next one is Withicum Raleigh, and we did discuss this previously. This was the tree application 18/0615 tree, 1 Madagascar Close. Remember we saw the photos at the previous meeting. We've now had an updated report from the tree officer, and I'll ask Ronza if she'd like to read the comments from statutory consultees and the updated tree officer's report, please.
Yeah, Highways didn't wish to comment on this application, and we previously, if you can recall, at the last meeting, we didn't support the felling of this tree as it was a necessary addition to the stark surroundings of Madagascar Coast, and the need for regular pruning was not a good reason for its removal. The tree officers sent an updated report in response to that. He said that this tree is around 2.5 metres from the dwelling and the crown will be in contact with the building in windy weather when the leaves are covered in moisture from rain, mist or condensation. This juvenile specimen can obtain heights of over 30 metres with a radial crown spreads of over 15 metres. The extent of 10 years growth is evident from Google Street images, where it can be seen to have increased in size by a third. Whilst there is no question this tree makes a positive contribution, repeated and extensive crown management would be an unreasonable financial burden and would result in dense, unattractive, vigorous regrowth, which would spoil its visual amenity value. He is still recommending approval of the application subject to the planting of a replacement tree, but if the committee is minded to refuse the application, you may wish to consider allowing lesser works for clearance pruning from the fabric of the adjacent dwelling. And I think Molly's got on the screen there to show, I think there's a one from 2008, so you can see the difference. Thank you.
Councillor Kagan.
Thank you, Chairman. Following the discussion that we had about this tree at the last meeting, I've been up to this particular moment and had a look at the tree. It is quite close to that house, very close. In fact, when you look at the branches, they're already touching the roof. So when you follow up by reading the tree officer's report,
when they talk about it being 2.5 metres away from the house, that's from the trunk, or, you know, not the actual branches, because the branches are actually on, already on the roof of the house. Looking around the site, there is quite a lot of trees, and I'm surprised if the roots haven't already gone in under those properties, because, as he says, these particular trees grow very, very quickly. Personally, I remember when the site was built, a lot of all these houses were poured concrete into shuttering. Prior to this marine estate being built, it was a farmland with big ponds, with big trees. Mm. And no one worried when they cut them down. Mm. I remember playing there as a child, but that's another story. But when you actually look at this tree, I think it really impacted on that. And I think it can do nothing more than cause damage. So I would concur with the tree officer and say it should be felled.
Thank you. Councillor Nash.
Thank you. As I said when this came up with our site, it would be a pity, particularly in this area, to lose the trees. I think the report is very strange. If you look at the two photographs, they're taken at different angles. So they're saying that's what it was like in 2008. And they moved the trunk out. They've uprooted the whole tree and moved it. Because the next photograph, they've taken it at angles, hidden by the hedge, so it looks as if it's close to the house. That's not a true representation. I think that's very false and misleading. I don't like in the tree officer's report that he or she says it could be unreasonable financial burden. So what? Are we going to chop every tree down in Exmouth because it might need trimming and looking after? Particularly in the report, saying that it will be decades time, 20, 30 years time, there could be a problem. Not if it's kept in order now. And he has recommended, or she has recommended, there could be lesser work to keep it in trim. And I would propose that it's not felled, but the lesser work is carried out, and accept the financial burden for the amenity that the tree officer says this tree has.
Thank you. Councillor Cagle actually proposed that we go along with the tree officer's report recommendation of approval. Is there a seconder for that first before I move on?
I will go with that.
Okay.
Can I explain why? The financial burden is not on maintaining the tree, it is the damage to the tree will cause to the property, because it's from Stuart, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And he's been out doing all that he tends to do, the ones that are going to cause damage to property. Mm-hmm. So the financial burden will be on the occupants of the house. And not
no, that's not what it says in the report, maybe, sorry. But you read the report.
Okay.
Word by word.
Okay.
No, sorry. I have to be honest and say that I've been to visit this because of last time's meeting, and it was well over the house when I went. I have to be honest, it was already, as I thought, it was actually already damaging the roof of the house, personally speaking. But
yeah.
That was a, you know, when I went, it was actually resting on the roof, and there was already some damage. Yeah, there was already damage to the tiles on the roof when I went. But Councillor Cagle.
Chairman, can I just make a comment in reference to Councillor Nash's comments about the photographs? The difficulty with the photographs, the first one is a Google Street View, where Google used a fisheye camera on top of the van, and I suspect as this tree has grown, it spread, whereas the 2008 one is quite confined.
Mm.
But I suspect also because of the angle of the camera and the way that the Google Street View takes their photographs, that's why you've got that evolutionary effect.
Councillor Dunbar.
Yeah, just to say it's a shame, particularly in view of Councillor Brian Torrey's trenchant views on the issue last time, and the fact that he'd been up there and he didn't actually see that it was touching. You two have both been there and seen it. I'm sorry I haven't been there, but
the last couple of weeks, the foliage on all trees have gone bad.
Whether that's caused the difference, I don't know. But anyway, I think really it's a very difficult one, and I can see both sides, but I think broadly speaking, bearing in mind the likely damage it is going to cause, I think I would go with Fred and Maddie rather than with Bill. You know, my heart is with Bill, my head is the other way. And it's a shame, can I also draw attention to the fact that we have only got the one Withycombe representative on this committee.
Yeah.
And it is a shame that we have nobody there from the ward concern. Mm.
Right, well, it's been proposed and seconded for approval in line with the tree officer's report. So, what Bill is actually saying is the direct opposite to what you've suggested.
The report, tree officer's report, in one breath is saying fell it, and another breath saying look after it and do lesser work to it. Which shall we vote on?
It actually says recommendation for approval subject to the planting of a replacement tree. And then it says, should the committee be minded to refuse the application, then it gives us the option, the second option, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
But I'd ask Ron's issue.
Yeah, so you're losing the tree, they're going to have another one, so.
Mm. Yeah, more appropriate for that area, I
assume. No one wants to see us losing trees.
No, I don't. Yeah.
But the thing is, with a replacement tree, it needs to be as far away from the house as possible, but it also has to be careful of the path and the highways. Because the roots will come up underneath the road and the path, so they need to be aware of what type of tree and the growth of that type of tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the oaks have huge root systems anyway, so it is an oak.
I mean, they normally do suggest an appropriate tree. Mm-hmm. So he's suggesting a mountain ash or a white bean.
Or a what?
White bean.
Okay, white bean.
So it's proposed and seconded for approval, subject to the planting of a replacement tree. All those in favour? All those against? Thank you. So it's approved. Thank you. Move on to the planning consultations. Firstly, Holston, 2 Lyndhurst Road, 18.0895 full. Conversion of dwelling into two flats and external alterations, including construction of single-storey side extension to replace existing porch extension and loft conversion, including dormer window on northeast elevation. Highways are given standing advice. There are no representations. Councillor Cahill.
Thank you. Bearing in mind, it's quite precedent set down on these roads, Lyndhurst Road and Waverley Road, where several of these properties have been converted into two flats, and providing there's no complaints or objections from neighbours, I would have thought that it's not really anything we do to say no.
Yeah, I broadly speaking I concur with that. The other thing to say I think is that they say they're providing two extra car parking spaces in the proposal, so that would
there's been a similar one sort of in Waverley, hasn't there?
Yeah.
On the end of Waverley.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm happy to concur. Proposal subject for approval. All those in favour? Any against? Thank you. Next application is 18, big 0849 full, 20 Holston Avenue. Construction of single storey rear extension. Highways do not wish to comment. There are no representations. Councillor Dumper?
Yes, I could see an objection to this, and they're fairly substantial houses. I mean, if the next door neighbours have got any issues with it, I didn't see a problem.
Councillor Cahill?
Okay.
Right, proposed for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Next application we've already dealt with, which is 66 Cullen Road. The next item was on your addendum, which was 18, a big 0542 full, 76 Halston Avenue, construction of garage extension to front. The amended plan with extensions reduced in size and pitched roof changed to a lean-to roof. The Town Council on the 30th of April objected on the grounds of overbearing and out of keeping with the street scene on that side of the road and the impact on the amenity of the property next door, which was 74. There were three representations to the original application. I think actually one of them is going to object to this application, but it's not been in yet. Councillor Dumper, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, well, I'd actually concur with this objective, really. The whole basis of our objection to it was that there hadn't been any garages on that, bungalows on that side of the road. And the fact that they made a minor adjustment to the way it's done, I don't think alters our objection. So I would propose continuing our objection.
Yeah, I concur with that. Councillor Cahill?
And I would agree with that. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people extend their garages to the rear where it doesn't impact on, you know, building lines and appearance. And as you do it at the front, I feel it's not conducive to the other.
Okay, so it's proposed and seconded for refusal on the same grounds as we had on the 30th of April 2018. All those in favour? Against? Thank you. Now move to Littleham Ward, application 18-B0982 Fulton 9A Dagmar Road. Demolition of existing building and erection of two-storey garage and holiday accommodation building to rear existing house. Highways do not wish to comment, they've had no representations. Councillor Nash?
Yes, Chairman. Keep that up, Ron. No, lost it. The report on page 2, the planning reference. Past history, which is page 2 of the history. Keep going. Right there, that's it. 161. I remember clearly 7 years ago speaking about this at this planning meeting when a proposal was put in for a two bedroom dwelling. And also a three-bedroom dwelling and the construction of a garage with a studio over it. It was not passed, main reason being, although the address is Dagmar Road, it impinges badly on the end of the garden, which is Louisa Place. Now that approval was given, as it says it was given, and 162, as can be seen from the above, approval plan permission has been granted for a new garage with studio over, etc. Now, 7 years later, they've come back and want to make it larger. They didn't actually do anything. They now say, because they've got approval for a garage, they can put a garage up. And if you start to, as you had on there before, on the pictures of it, that top left one there, you can see the front of the building, a wall that goes all the way along Louisa Place. Top left picture shows a gate, a doorway, which is already there, doorway into the garden through the wall, but there isn't a garage there as well at the same time, a garage door. So the problem, two problems with that, firstly, is they are taking a wall next to a conservation area, an old wall, knocking a lot of it down to make a garage entrance, and then building right up to the edge above it with windows overlooking to the neighbours across the road. This time there hasn't been any representation, but there was strong representation 7 years ago from the people living in Louisa Place, above and overlooked. And the diagram on the right, the site plan that Ron's put up there, you can see where this block is at the end of the garden, Dagmar Road is one to the right. Louisa Place is the where it's going to be built on at the bottom of the garden. It's not exactly a large garden to start putting up large premises. So I would say, as similar to last time, but even more so, it is too large, overdevelopment of a very small garden affecting the road and residents who park along there, because there's the yellow lines on the other side, so it's taking away a lot of parking. I'll have to put the yellow lines down there because it's entrance or garage if they're allowed to open the wall up. I put it for refusal, Chairman.
Basically on the basis that it is overbearing and also
the wall, you're concerned obviously about the, is it a wall that would be, needs to be retained, is it a, I don't know.
Well, if you suddenly make a wall running the length of 15 houses,
right,
probably 100 years old, you suddenly sort of bash a big
hole. Yeah, that's what I meant, I didn't know what sort of wall it was.
Yeah, it's an old wall, red brick wall.
Okay.
Giving privacy to all of those houses along there, mm-hmm, including that little narrow one in Dagmar Road, number 9 Dagmar Road.
Yeah, okay. A second.
Yeah. Councillor Chapman. Bill, they say the demolition of the existing building, what's been demolished?
Well, they put a garage up, but it's not big enough to support what they want to put on top of it.
Ah, right.
And they had permission for that. The garage is there, but they're going to have to demolish a whole lot of a bigger garage or a heavier foundation to build right
build on top.
Now, I will second.
Yes, sorry.
Okay. Councillor Keegan?
Sorry, I was only in the second bill, but money's just
okay. Proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis it would be overbearing, and obviously there's concern about the destruction of the wall, part of the wall, to enter the building. All those in favour? Everybody, thank you. Next application is 18, the 0963 full flat 4 Portland Court, 1 Portland Avenue, construction of first floor side and rear extension. Highways do not wish to comment and there are no representations. Councillor Nash?
Yes, this really doesn't affect anyone because it's coming out on the first floor, isn't visible really from the front, it is from the rear. It doesn't affect anyone, I say approval.
Okay, I'll have a second. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Against that? Thank you. Next application is 18, the 0926 variance, Royal College Plainfield, Douglas Avenue, variation of condition 1, a appearance of reserve matters, approval 17, beat 1582, major reserve planning permission, and 16, 227 of the variation to allow for repositioning an additional dormer window and installation of side elevation windows. The comments, highways do not wish to comment, neither to South West Water, and we've had no representations. Councillor Nash?
Yeah, so the 15 plans on there, these were all comments from planning officers that they wanted alterations done. So some are saying a dormer window, others are they're going to be glazed, they're going to be moved.
Mm-hmm.
They were all recommendations from the planning department to the applicant, which they obviously have to put plans in for each one. The fact that the planning recommended it, I would say that's acceptable.
Yeah. Okay, I'll have to second that. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Now move on to the town ward. First application is 18, be 0845 full, 62-64 New Street. First floor extension and rear dormer extension. Councillor Maslin has commented, which are the last ones to read to the committee, please.
Yeah, Councillor Maslin has sent the following comment about this application. The proposal would include roof lights on the front elevation and a dormer on the rear. The windows in the dormer on the rear would substantially overlook the neighbours' gardens. The large rear dormer would also be very visible from Marine Way, being as it is very, very near the bottom of New Street. This would, in his opinion, substantially detract from the visual amenity of the area's roof lines, making a hodgepodge construction. The development would not necessarily make for extra vehicular traffic on New Street, as it is an alteration to an existing dwelling, and no new dwellings are planned. In view of the negative visual impact, which is easily seen from a major thoroughfare, he is inclined to recommend refusal of this application. Thank you.
Councillor Duncan.
Yes, I just wanted to comment, and I shall no doubt comment as a district councillor for that ward as well. I thoroughly agree with what Mansting has said, and having seen a number of these so-called rear dormers going up in the colony, and adjacent road in this case, I would thoroughly oppose that. It also overlooks New North Road properties, and possibly the next door neighbour in New Street. So all things in all, I think we should have those. Mm. And out of keeping as well.
Yeah.
And some hot potch. Mm. Oh, it's hot
potch
as well.
Yes, as a district councillor for that ward, I would agree with Rob Manzini's available report. And I like the word he says hodgepodge, because it's making a mess of that building. Mm. So I agree with that and don't do it.
So proposed and seconded for refusal on the basis it's overlooking possible adjoining properties, it's overbearing and also out of character with the street scene.
I'm surprised not to see any objections actually from neighbours in New North Road.
I'm surprised.
They probably don't know.
They probably don't.
Okay. All those in favour of refusal on those grounds? Okay, so thank you. Next application is 18, the big 0786 listed building consent for the Manor Hotel The Beacon. Internal alterations to include the removal of construction of partition walls and enlarged existing door at first floor. Highways not wish to comment, and Councillor Masding has no objection subject to the Conservation Officer's report. Councillor Dunford, do you want to add anything?
No, particularly. I would recommend that.
Thank you.
Yes, I recommend it. This is building. We haven't had the full planning. They've done the other way around, but this is building first. But to make that door wider up on that first floor is, I think, it was asked for fire safety. It's been
right.
So
thank you. Councillor Trail.
Yeah, as a county councillor, I think this is good for the benefit of tourists to the town. This particular, the new owner of the Beacon has done quite a lot of extensive work on the outside of the, or the exterior of the building. It looks extremely good. This can only be something positive for the town. Mm. So I would approve.
So proposed and seconded for approval subject to the Conservation Officer's report. All those in favour? Thank you. Next applications with from Raleigh. Application 18, big 1010 full, 27 Avondale Road. The proposed single story rear extension with roof terrace, side extension at rear of existing garage, and alterations to roof to provide loft accommodation. Highways do not wish to comment. We've had no representations. I've not seen this as I've been rather busy at work, but so I think we'll have to see it unless anybody else been and looked at it. No, perhaps you could just check the situation so we can see whether it's overlooking anyone with this. So I'm not sure where 27 over there is. It must be at the end.
It's sort of
Just go down a bit and see where the site is. It's all right.
That's existing.
Yeah, so it's down the bottom on the left. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Down the bottom. Oh, it's on the circle.
On the turning circle.
Yeah, perhaps on the turning circle. It's a single story extension. Yeah. Well, it's not going to bother anybody, is it?
Not
single
story.
And the roof conversion.
That's the existing terrace on the back.
Yeah, well, no, it's. I was going to say it's not going to, it's more than 20 feet away to be able to overlook anybody. So I don't see any problem with that, actually.
No.
So I'm happy to propose approval. Propose and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. And the next application is 18, oblique 0312 full, 15 Avondale Road. Construction of detached garage and store above. The amended plan is for a reduction of the garage height to single storey. Town Council objected on the grounds of overdevelopment of the site. Concerns were raised on the possible use of building for business use. And it's now been reduced to a single storey.
Yeah.
So I think that really goes along with what we were really saying.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to propose approval and seconded. Proposed and seconded for approval. All those in favour? Thank you. Right, we now move on to items for consideration. Firstly is the East Devon District Council car park review. This was deferred from the last meeting, and I asked everybody if they would go online and have a look
I've had various complaints to the fact that the only way they could look at this was to have your saying go through the questionnaire, and they couldn't get the document, which I think is a fair comment for councillors to have to do that. Secondly, I have had the comment from councillors that they were halfway through and they said the web page had expired and they couldn't carry on, so they had to go back to the beginning again. So I think if they could have sent us a copy, or they could have, we could have accessed the consultation without doing the survey, it would have been more appropriate. But has anybody got any comments if they've managed to have time to read it? Councillor Nash.
Yes, I've had only two constituents, town board, which I'm district council, town board member, and one particular constituent said, why is this so far in advance, why isn't it brought in now? And I did actually check, and most helpful, and county council was actually referred from our own district to county, and the answer came back from Lee Cranmer. The reason this is now consulting to activate in a year's time is there ain't finance available for this financial year to do it. So that's why it ain't going to be done immediately. But it's quite a point. It's still worth filling up the survey.
Yeah.
That's okay, Bill. Yeah. Thank you, Chairman. I do have some comments. What I do tend to use seafront and use parking. I go and walk my dog. In fact, only this morning I used Foxhall's car park, and for half an hour it cost me 50p. Yesterday evening I parked on the Echelon parking just along from the lifeboat station on the Mare side of the road to walk my dog on the Mare. It cost me £1. If I was to park on Queen's Drive at Auckland Point, it cost me £1.10 for an hour. And I know that this study is to actually try and bring all the parking charges in line. Now, are we actually going to see all the parking charges to come together? Because at the moment, East End District Council, I assume, own the car park, they own the Echelon parking.
The other side of the road is Devon County Council. So we've got, but what they normally try to do is they do talk to Devon County Council in and they do try to get it in the actual Queen's Drive. To go on a little bit further,
you know, we travel around the East End District and charges vary in various different places. Whether you're on one side of the road, this side of the road, a car park here or a car park there. You know, and once again, I've said this before, Bloody Solston, Esplanade parking, 20p for half an hour, 70p for an hour. That's far, far cheaper than Exmouth. I don't understand why. I know it's Devon County because it's Esplanade parking. Yeah, and then you go to the Lincoln car park, it's different again.
Yeah.
So, when they say they're going to bring it in line, can someone just sort of clarify for me, is this a real in-line parking charge?
Well,
are we going to really have parking fees in line so that...
Yeah, I mean, what they're trying to do is make it 50p and a pound, but they're trying to make it £1 an hour in most places, because the complaints that have come in so far actually are in
it's a fair charge.
Yeah.
The charges that are charged in lots of other different places. But I would like to see Devon County Council on Esplanade come into line with East Devon District Council, where you've got lots of different car parks on an Esplanade, whether it's Exmouth, Budley, Seaton, Sidmouth, whatever it may be. Let's see some in-line parking charges. I mean, Sidmouth Seafront, you can park there free.
Yeah, I mean, they're actually saying with the car parks, they're actually saying they are trying to bring it in line, actually, aren't they? Because they're trying to say that they're trying to make it all a 50p for a minimum and a pound an hour, and because they're doing that across... Because I know there's people in other areas who don't want to be in line with us.
I think it's only fair...
But the road is another... I know the problem concerning the seafront actually on the actual Esplanade, because the difficulty is because the county has one side, and I know East End were trying to get it in line with county, but I'm not sure that that's...
I think it's only fair to tourists and locals alike that, you know, we get this right.
for a very good reason, is that we want to encourage tourism, we want to encourage, you know, a better economic return to the town. So I think parking is really important to actually get a consistent price across the board. That's my view.
Yeah. Chair.
Yes, as you're the county council rep, I will be speaking to Tom Ford on Thursday, because I'm out with Highways Thursday morning. So if you could send me an email, please, and then I will respond in writing direct, and then we can get an answer, which we can then bring back to full council if you wish.
Yeah, and we've got to the 1st of June, haven't we?
I was going to say
the actual survey does say it does not include any parking spaces on the side of the road, even if you have to pay for it, as these spaces are responsible as a Devon County Council. So, yeah, no, but the ones are on land, they're not actually on the road, the ones by the mayor, which is why they're East Devon District Council, but I don't know about Budley ones on the road. I don't know the answer.
They're Devon County Council.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying to Jeff, I don't know.
But not consistent with the pricing,
exactly. Well, Jeff will obviously come back to the next meeting, so do you want to defer a final decision on what we send in until we go to the next meeting?
Bill might be able to help me here. On the pavilion car park, when it came up at East Devon, we were told that patrons of the car park would get a concession for parking. Now, I have since heard from Councillor Scott that they've added a one-year clause onto that. I would like that to be permanent, please, and not a one-year. I don't know who sneaked it on, but we saw it.
No, I understand.
Can we sneak it off?
Yeah, I understand it's 1 year, because some of the people who hire the pavilion for the weekend, they've actually made representations to me to say that they're not willing to put in their bookings for next year until they know what's happening.
Trevor,
the answer is a two-phase thing. First of all, the 1 year is for any concessions that may be considered for dance groups, etc. and so on. The one thing that is not a 1 year is the permanent concession of £2 rebate back in the pavilion if someone spends £3 yeah. But when that was questioned at the last full council meeting, I raised it again. I wanted it stated that this is a permanent concession, and it said temporary. It was explained to me the temporary was not the concession but the amount of money that might be charged. So it's £2. £3.50, but it might go up. But the actual activity for people purchasing goods in the pavilion, that is a permanent concession. They get a rebate.
I think the difficulty is the people that are hiring the pavilion for events is, you know, some of them pay substantial money because they have every Sunday in there. So they're paying quite a big fee, and they're what they're saying is, if we don't know after 12 months, why should we actually go ahead? So I think there is going to be a problem. Yeah.
What we were told over there they were going to do, when it's coming back, it's not quite what they told us. So we can tell them, no, that's not what you said. So get it sorted.
Councillor Dunker.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be at the transportation partnership this morning, and we had Jackie Collins from the car parks at EDDC, and she outlined some of the issues around the consultation. One of my concerns, and I know a lot of people have similar concerns, is the proposal to charge in Fir Park for parking. Now, what Jackie was telling us was that they don't, on EDDC, they don't really want to raise money from that. They want a realistic proposal that they can keep cars from parking all over the place, as they put it. So they want to create a car parking area. They couldn't see any other way of doing it. So I think if enough of us here get to the point where we can give them an alternative proposal that doesn't involve charging, then I think that would be that would be useful.
Because I do have genuine concerns for the Fiat Bowling Club, to be honest. The people who play, the players at the Fiat Bowling Club.
Yes.
And the cost to them, the implications to them to be able to continue, which is, you know, I wouldn't like to see it not have a thriving club because they can't park.
And the gun club and the
And
Chairman, Bill will be doing it again. LED run the little cafe there. I mean, it doesn't make money, it sort of breaks even. And people have got to pay just to park up there and they want to, you know, just to go for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
They might as well go home, won't they?
Yeah.
Well, they might as well check the road.
Yeah, well, quite.
Well, what we'll do then is we'll wait for Council Chair to come back on Devon County and we will, if everybody could formulate their final views on any particular aspects, and we can finalise that to make sure we get our submission in. We'll do it at the next meeting, okay?
But there is no problem, presumably, Chair, about individual councillors submitting their questionnaires.
No, I've submitted mine because I have to go all the way through it to get
Yeah, sure.
So I've done mine.
You get used to jumping up and down, Tiff. Don't worry.
I've got some licensing applications.
No, that's all right. We're allowed to sit here and we're told.
So, premises and club premises license applications, variations, minor variations, premises, Donato Store, 8 Victoria Road, which is Town Ward. The applicant, funny enough, is Donato. premises Monday to Saturday, noon till midnight. Activities late night refreshment indoors, 11 to, I can't be on. Late night refreshment indoors, time from 11 at night to midnight.
I think, I questioned this. It's
It is, yeah, but
it's
right. Ron's has got a, because Ron's has obviously done what I did, query it. Late night refreshment refers to the provision of hot food or hot drink to the public for consumption on or off the premises between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. or supply of hot food or hot drink to any person between those hours. So that's 1 hour. He's asked for 11 to 12.
Yeah, it needs to be, if he wants to serve coffee after 11 o'clock.
Yeah, okay.
I think, in a restaurant. That's the way I interpret it.
Supply of alcohol from noon until 11:30, which is usual because they're going to shut at 12, so that's the usual half hour clear up. So it's just the odd 1 hour, 23.
I've got to declare pecuniary interest.
Okay.
Because I've known this guy and I've been a customer of his for many years.
Right. Okay. Probably all have at different venues. Okay, so other than clarification of the hours, seems a bit strange.
It's just a restaurant.
It's just a restaurant, yeah. So basically, he's moved to a different venue because he was in High Street, wasn't he? He's now closed that, he's now moved. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously opening a new one.
Sounds like he's moving over the
Yeah, it is, Okay, we've got no real particular observations about that. Premises and premises application variation, the co-op, 3 Magnolia Walk, which is Town Ward. Reduce the size of the licensed area by removing the warehouse area, install bakery section and stairway, and minor amendment to internal layout for a Costa coffee machine.
Well, they've done it all anyway, haven't they, I think?
So I've got no, they've got a Costa coffee shop around the corner.
And basically the machines can produce.
I was going to say that's no real.
£3,000 to £4,000.
I mean, they're reducing the size of the licensed area.
Single-use plastic.
Single-use plastic.
Then items for information: tree preservation order, land to the north of Marple Primary.
Good.
Details of that. Notice of intention to install electronic communications apparatus at St Andrews Road, St Andrews Now, St Andrews Road. Details of proposed broadband cabinet which will facilitate the provision of super fast broadband. It's class of permitted development, so it's only good observations. The only thing I was saying, it's not in relation to this broadband, but I would say that probably when we think of mobile phone masts again, the amount of trouble Litland have been in and Salterton Road have been in, having put up that mast without any reception for a month nearly in some properties, because it's barred all the telecommunications, because Abbeyfield's been up for 3 weeks.
Chairman, I want to really declare an interest, but we're not voting on it.
No,
I do have a property in on that map where it says.
You're going to get super fast broadband, are you?
No. Morton Crescent News.
Oh, right.
It's going on the corner opposite there.
Oh, right, yeah.
Looking at it, it's out of the way, there's no problem.
Most of them are actually, aren't they? And then a PO notification, conversion and extension, raising ridge height of garage to form dwelling at 23 Marble Hill. And a PO notification for lawful development for certificate for change of use of garage to dwelling house, 19 Grange Avenue. just to say on that one, we did actually advise East End District Council that actually it had been refused a number of times because it was an unhappable property by their environmental department that didn't seem to advise the planning department.
Yeah.
So.
What a surprise.
Yeah, so anyway, so that appeal is notification. Notification of tree works, section 27 Durham Close. Then we come to the planning decisions, which all were okay except for the gables in Marlow Road. Councillor Chapman.
Yes, I've had great fun with this one. The gables, as you know, put in for an extension. They've got a couple of extensions. We did say we would accept frosted grass on the veranda, but we didn't want any work done to the environmental health guys or something. Because the house next door, fairy, whatever it's called, the garden was really soggy and the tree had come down and it was an oak tree. So we sent Stuart Baker along to check the stability of the ground. He said the ground was a bit environmental health went down. And then I got the planning officers, enforcement officers, they went around to have a look. Four doors up, they have found a large pipe that is cracked. So they have to dig up across four gardens and replace all this water which has been soaking out. So good job done, guys.
Well, well done.
What did they all know?
No, this is our closing meeting. Thank you.